It's really nice to be back with you amongst friends this evening. It's a couple of years since I've preached here at Bethany. I thought I'd done something wrong the last time because it's far too long. 2 years, I think, ago it was that I preached, but it's lovely to be back, and thanks for your warm welcome. Delighted to see David in the audience this evening. He told me at the football on Tuesday night that he's all apologetic. I won't be out on Sunday night, he tells me. I will not be out on Sunday night. I'm away with the Johnston weekend, so he won't see me there. So I'll send my apologies and so on and so forth. I'm one of the first persons I meet this evening is young David. So nice to see you, David, and I'm sure God will bless you. And we trust that God will bless us all as we study his word this evening. We're going to look at a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in the Bible. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, that would be good. And we'll work our way through this particular passage this evening. A little study on the Apostle Paul's writing here. If you're looking for a title for a little study this evening, it would be that, Seeking the Greater Good, and hopefully that will become apparent once we study God's Word from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, to be honest, it was actually in verses 24 through to 27 that I was going to preach on this evening, because it is a favourite passage of mine, and I thought I'll revisit that for my friends at Bethany. But actually, when I looked at the whole chapter, then the whole chapter kind of opened up a wee bit to me, and so we're going to look at the chapter in general this evening, but I suppose the majority of the time will be spent on these last four verses. So let's read the chapter together, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 1, entitled in my Bible here, The Rights of an Apostle. Apostle Paul writing, and he says this, Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you. You are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? Do I say this merely from a human point of view? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us, because when the ploughman ploughs and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. But I have not used any of these rights, and I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone. To win as many as possible, to the Jews I became like a Jew. To win the Jews, to those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man. I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body. I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. We look to God to bless his inspired word this evening as we just spend a little time studying it together. I'm not sure how you spent your summer holidays this particular summer. You may well start by saying, Mark, what summer? It wasn't perhaps the best summer with regards to weather we have ever had, and you would be true by stating that. But I had a brilliant summer this year because many of you know I'm a teacher, and the school in which I teach finished on the 23rd of June, and the students did not return until the 23rd of August. 2 whole months. Ridiculous, you see. You're right, it is ridiculous. How can teachers start mourning when they get over 8 weeks summer holidays? And I really enjoyed the benefit of the summer holidays. I had a great time with my dear wife and two young children. But I did say that it wasn't the best weather-wise this particular summer, and that certainly would be true. And so on the odd occasion, and perhaps more than the odd occasion, I found myself in the house, and just to try and save me from wall-to-wall children's television, I actually found myself watching some daytime television in the morning. Now, let me tell you, as a confession, because it is not the normal type of television programme I would watch. But I was somewhat surprised, amazed, to see the volume of a certain type of programme that was on each morning. I'm sure you know the type I am referring to, even although you will never watch this particular programme. It's a programme where members of the audience or participants are encouraged to air their views and in many occasions their grievances in front of the camera. I freely admit it's not the television I watch, but what was of interest to me was how these individuals saw their rights and freedom of speech. And in some way, they thought it was their duty to air their views in public, no matter how offensive it got. The host kept saying, that's your view, that is your right, and you are entitled to it. Well, the Apostle Paul this evening speaks of his rights as an apostle, and I should start by saying that rights are obviously a good thing. They can benefit us, of course they can. If any of you have watched the film The Hunt for Red October, the main character was looking forward to defecting from Russia to America. In Russia, the individual could only work where the Russian government told him to work. He could only live where the Russian government told him he could live, and he could only travel under the government's permission. But in America, it was all different. He could live, he could travel, he could work wherever he wanted. So rights can be a good thing. They can protect us. But just because we have the right to do something as Christians, the question is this evening, should we do it? And so in tonight's passage that the Apostle Paul brings to us, Paul gives us and gives the Corinthians these believers that he is writing to, a model of how to use our Christian freedom and indeed Christian rights. Just wonder if that's the first screen there. I think that's maybe the third screen we've got up. Is that correct? Because I'm looking for free rights. Take them up. I'll get free prize. Uh-huh. We'll try that. Oh, maybe I've gone back one. Is that me? Free speech? I'll let you do it. Free rights. I think we're going to start with... Still coming up with free prize. Free speech. No free rights. No free rights. Okay, we'll just leave that aside for a second. That's all right. So we're going to look at the free rights. The free rights that we have as a Christian. And this is the first... There we go. Free rights. Fantastic. Good job. So the Paul then asks us to consider as Christians our free rights. And he starts in these first two verses, as we have just read, by considering him and considering the example that he brings to us. Let's look at these verses again in verses 1 and 2. Paul says this, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you. You are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord." Now, this is not usually how Paul writes. He doesn't like to make a show of his authority and position, but he's actually forced to do so in this particular passage. Paul says this, "Listen, I am an apostle. I am free. I hold this God-appointed position as an apostle. I have been sent by God. And even if other churches or other Christians don't want to acknowledge me as an apostle, listen," says Paul, "you need to." And he is speaking to the Corinthians, because Paul is the person who planted the church in Corinth. He is their apostle. And in verse 2, he says this, "You are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord." You know, when I graduated from university quite a few years ago now, I received a piece of paper with some words on it, my degree, and it said this, that Mark Shields has spent long enough now at Glasgow University. He's gone and attended enough lectures to last him a lifetime. He's done enough big sums to keep him going, so we're now going to give him this degree. Now, I'm being slightly funny there, because I have no idea what it says, because it's written in Latin and it's not a particular language that I am familiar with. But what makes this piece of paper that I have from the university special is because it has a seal of the university stamped on it. It makes it legitimate. It is the authority of the university that is awarding this degree, a special mark to show that it has the weight of this university behind it. Now, I could have written my own degree, but it would be utterly, utterly meaningless. Without the seal, it would be meaningless. Well, this is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Because in the ancient world, kings and governors, they also had seals to mark these documents as legitimate and as authoritative. And Paul is saying here, listen, you people, the Corinthians, you that I'm writing to, are nothing less than God's seal of authority upon me. Your existence, Paul says this, testifies to my position, my authority, and my mission. And so right at the outset, I'm trying to hammer this point home because it is so important that Paul carries with him God's full endorsement, the weight of an apostle. Apostles are special people. They are individuals who are sent by God. That is what an apostle means. By definition, apostle is someone who is sent. Today we think of perhaps more in the sense of ambassadors or messengers. But for Paul, he is more than that. Paul is the official representative of Jesus Christ. He is, if you like, Christ's spokesman who would say what Jesus would say. And because of that, we need to listen carefully to what the Apostle Paul is saying to us. Paul has the qualifications to be an apostle. Why? Because he was found in Jesus' company. He got to know the Lord Jesus. He knew the facts concerning Jesus' death and resurrection. And most importantly, he had a personal encounter with the risen Christ. So apostles are really special people. They have a special importance. They have a special function. They have a unique message to bring. The church is built on the teachings of the apostles. Scripture re-emphasizes this when we read these words. The names of the apostles are written in the city of God, the New Jerusalem. And so then, Paul carries with him the full weight of God's endorsement, and as a result, he is more than entitled to his free rights. But you see, as we progress down this passage, we soon find that Paul starts giving us some examples of these rights that he actually gives up, and he goes without unused rights, if you like, rights that he could justifiably and rightly claim as an apostle. And there's some of them there. Verse 4, Paul says this: I am entitled to this. I am the apostle Paul. He says, I have the right to be fed and watered by the churches. Verse 5, he says, I have the right to be married and have a wife travel with me. Verse 6, he says, I have the right to be paid by the churches. That's the apostle Paul. He is a special individual. But Paul turns these rights down. They are free rights. They are rights that are entitled to him. But he refuses them, and he goes without them. Verse 12 says this: we did not use these rights. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. And as we move down the passage, we're going to see very shortly why Paul gave up his free rights. So the first 11 or 12 verses speak about that. And there's other rights that Paul mentions in there. Those were the kind of three main ones that I've picked out for you. Free rights that Paul can justifiably claim because he is an apostle. He is the apostle Paul. He carries God's endorsement with him, but he has gone without these rights. He has given up these rights, and we will see now why that is the case. Because if we look now at verses 12 through to 23, Paul moves from speaking about free rights to speaking on free speech. Free rights, free speech. Free speech in proclaiming the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And in Paul's case, it was literally free speech. Why do I say that? Well, Paul was prepared to go without his rights, to give up his rights, because of this one main fact. You see, Paul was not wanting to let money get in the way of people coming to Christ. Once the Apostle Paul